May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. I give thanks this morning, especially for my parents, Ruth and Norris Brookins, whose faithful living, good minds, and high principles influenced and made differences in the world that they lived in. My last term in seminary, I took a class on Jesus as Christ. I think it was called The Doctrine of Christ or something like that. And the professor would often ask us during the course of that class if we really thought it was an accident. We really thought it was an accident that we were born to the parents that we were born to. Did we think it was an accident that at that particular moment in time we were enrolled in a seminary in North America? Did we think it was an accident that we were each alive in that very moment? No, I didn't think it then. And I do not think now that it was an accident. How about you? I stopped in to see Trish for a couple minutes on Friday morning. She'd been off to a seminar I'd told her about, and you know how enthusiastic she is, so of course she was filled with excitement about all the things that she'd learned. And it turned out that her table mates were old friends of mine, and she was studying in my childhood church. So as I talked to her about that building, which I still love to walk in today in Urbana, I just was flooded with so many memories from that time. The way the sun flooded the sanctuary the day the six of us were baptized. Seeing my name up on the cradle roll behind Dr. Laughlin as I would shake his hand on the way out the door. Memories of Christmas programs. I always wanted to be as old as my sister so I could wear angel wings. Receiving my first Bible, singing in the variety of choirs we had there as I grew up, worshiping in the fellowship hall while the present sanctuary was constructed. And then I and the rest of us confirmed our baptismal promises on the day that new sanctuary was dedicated. I'm really thankful for the faith formation of my childhood church, and for all that my parents also did at home to shape our faith, especially my mother. I can see now how many of my basic theological understandings were formed and shaped by my parents' teachings. And today I want to just talk about one of those shapings, her teaching to me of the meaning and experience of grace. Now, what exactly is that amazing grace of which we sing? I was stunned in my first church to have a 70-year-old woman who'd been in church every Sunday of her life ask me what grace was. I thought, wow, we do a terrible job in church explaining the most important concepts. Grace is the experience of undeserved forgiveness, and it's mingled with unqualified, unrestricted love. Our catechism says it's a gift we do not deserve and we cannot earn. And think of how Scripture so often teaches us about grace. I think my favorite portion is the 15th chapter of the Gospel of Luke that has those three stories in a row about grace, the first one being about the shepherd. It was a 99% completion rate, right? And his sheep come in and he gets them into the pen at night. And yet he goes out in the darkness looking for that one lost sheep and will not stop until he finds it, laying it over his shoulders. He comes home rejoicing. And that's followed by that wonderful story about the woman who has lost a coin. And so she tears her house apart. She does spring cleaning. She sweeps and she looks until she finds that one coin. And in her joy, she spends more than the coin itself is worth on a party. And then that last story, the one you and I probably know the best out of this chapter, the story of the lost son and the forgiving father. The father who, despite the wrongs done against him, sits out on the front porch every night in the rocking chair, hoping and praying for that son of his. And when his son actually does come back up the hill at long last, that father tears off the porch and runs pell-mell down the side of the hill until he can throw his arms around his son before his son can even apologize, and embraces him and rejoices with him. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious was that grace appeared the hour I first believed. Now, some of you have heard a portion of this story I'm about to share now, but I want to talk just for a moment about how I know that I have been kept in God's grace, in part through the teaching of my mother. When we were kids, my mother, on miserable, rainy, lousy Sundays, would sometimes make a huge production out of our lunch that day. She was a skilled child psychologist. She had 6 kids pinned in the house with her, and it was terrible outside. And so she would say that it was going to be a waffle Saturday, and we invited the Cridenier boys from next door to come over and share the meal with us. Now, I really appreciate now as a parent how wise my mother was. She could always put something distracting in front of you that looked so much more enticing than the place you were crabbing about. So even though it might not sound exciting, there was all the busyness to engage in. You know, we had to get the eggs out of the refrigerator and count them and let them warm up and open them up and separate the yolks from the whites so we could beat those egg whites up into a huge mound to make the waffles taste right. And then when I was a kid, they actually made carrots this size, right? Full size, yeah. And so we scrubbed those carrots, and we scraped them, and we cut them up. No little bag of carrots this size. And we did the same thing with celery. And then after we got all that done, we had to set the table. We had to bring an extra card table in and put it over by the radiator so we could put the extra waffle iron on it. You have to share. We were inviting 6 kids over, and there were 6 of us. But still, all that anticipation. And we were really excited. By the time it came down to sit for the meal, and the very last thing we would do before the meal is put a pitcher of syrup on each end of the table. One was just a regular pitcher, but the other one we had to go into the butler's pantry to get. The butler's pantry was where all my mother's china was that she just really loved and didn't use very often. We'd go in there and get this little pitcher out that had been a wedding present to my parents. Beautiful little set. And there was a platter and a large pitcher, and this little pitcher, they had a cabin on it, and it said, "Help yourself, my dear." I just love that. I love the apostrophe on it. So we'd get that out and fill it with syrup, and then we would just enjoy ourselves. And I knew that my mother loved that little pitcher. So one day after one of our waffle banquets, it was my brothers and my job to do the lunchtime dishes. So we were on kitchen patrol, of course, cleaning up and loading the dishwasher, sweeping the floor. And I took this little pitcher that my mother loved so much, and I called my brother's name and I slid it across the table to him. You know where this is going, don't you? This is not appropriate behavior. We did not slide china in our house, and yet I chose to slide this thing across the table to him, and of course my brother didn't catch it. So it goes flying off the edge and crashes on the floor. And the worst part about it is my mother was standing right there. And it feels to me like I must have stared at that for half an hour before I lifted my eyes up to read my mother's face. Amazing grace. I could see in there her anger. She loved. She loved that little pitcher, and I had just broken it stupidly. I could see anger, and I could see her disappointment in me, and I could see that she still loved me. In the midst of all that, no words passed between us. We cleaned it up. When we cleaned out the house in 1998 after she died, to my astonishment, I found that buried in the back of the butler's pantry, and I brought it home. It's still broken. It's never been glued back together again. Yet her look helped me understand the depth of the forgiveness that God is able to provide to us, undeserved forgiveness, mingled with unqualified, unrestricted love, still possible. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. I do not think, I didn't think back in seminary, and I do not think now, that it was an accident that I was born to the parents I had. Blessing, yes. Accident, never. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed by the opportunities I've had in my life just because of the household I was born into. On a day in which our culture provides us much to both love and cringe over, depending on our personal situations, when probably each of us reflects in some way, at least for a moment, on where we have come from and the women who have molded and shaped us on the way, I invite us to remember that God indeed has the compassion, tenderness, discipline, expectations, and grace of any good mother, and wants for us the lives that God imagined for each of us on the days we were born. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.